What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppables bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppables in wash scent beads.
Got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got him screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We your number one spot.
Let's go, baby. It's Friday. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. It's Friday. It's Friday. It's Friday. Hey! Welcome back to the Twitter audience. And welcome back to everybody who is with us here on this Friday, September 27th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Boiling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
Y'all know what it is. Coming up later on this hour, Domantas Sabonis from your Sacramento Kings will be with us here. The starting five set to debut October 9th. We'll talk to him about that. Media day coming up on Monday, the first Sacramento Kings practice. Coming up on Tuesday, and we're happy to get the Kings season started with the All-Pro Domantas Sabonis. Again, that's coming up around 12:50. I was told it could be 12:55. It could be 1. It'll be somewhere within that time frame. But Domas, kind enough to join us. Actually, a very busy day. Kyle Mattson will be with us, as he is every Friday, coming up here in just a few minutes. Jake Gaden, CBS 13, or as some of you know him, John from Connecticut, will be with us coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Eddie Gonzalez will be with us in the 2 o'clock hour. And we've got game number one of the top 20 games of the Kings season. That's all coming up here today. Wherever you are, ESPN 1320, Twitter, Twitch, Matthews Mattress Chatty House, YouTube, HD2. Thanks for hanging out, man. Cowboys sneak out a win last night. Wasn't pretty. But as Kyle just noted, it was a Thursday. And, you know, we talked about this and we tried to draw the correlation between what the San Francisco 49ers got coming up this week. And you just got to get a win. And
well, you know what it is.
No one's going to celebrate like you beating one of these lowly teams. But boy, oh boy, you're going to be talked about if you lose.
You know what it is. It's a JWTDG. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's a JWTDG.
Not doing that with you again.
Just win the damn game.
You wrote those initials down in front of you so you could say it faster.
It was so smooth.
You're lying.
That was all memory. JWTDG. There's nothing here. There's nothing here, man. I got it. It's going to be etched in everybody's mind now. Man, that's just what it is, man. Just win the damn game. So, and that's what the Cowboys had to do yesterday. That's what they had to do. It definitely wasn't pretty. And hopefully for them, it didn't cost them one of, you know, the best players in the game. But they got out of there
well
with the victory.
We did get an update on that. It's the MRI revealed a high ankle sprain for, I assume you're talking about Micah.
Yeah.
It's been a bad day for injuries. Probably should have led with the fact Devontae Adams and Max Crosby are not playing this weekend.
Jeez.
Just brutal. There aren't very many guys playing this weekend, to be completely honest with you. That is a tough look for the Las Vegas Raiders. We'll get to that more later on, but obviously, you know, big news there. High ankle sprain for Micah Parsons last night.
Yeah, and I know sometimes those things can linger, the ankle sprains, and a lot of people like to say, you know, just you'll take that over a clean break, because the ankle sprain can linger all year long. But with a clean break, like, you're out. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So at least with this one, you know, got the ankle sprain. He can rest it up. I don't know how long. I mean, he may not miss no games because they got the extended bye. But, you know, he's still going to be there this year. And that's got to be good news, because when I saw, I went back and watched the game later, but I was following along on my phone earlier while it was live. And when I saw he got carted off, I said, oh, no, that doesn't seem like a good situation. So it's a little bit of a relief that it was just an ankle sprain.
Yeah, given the fact they lost to Marcus Lawrence also, a defense that looked sketchy to begin with, just got worse. And I don't think it's unfair to say they just got significantly worse.
Yeah, that's
their 1-2 right there, yeah. in DeMarcus and Micah.
You losing
Micah and DeMarcus.
You losing those two guys. That's rough.
And the only thing,
like you said, with the defense that's already kind of struggling as is, you lose two of the best pass rushers in the game.
And the only thing that would have made it worse was if they lost. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. They had to come out of there with a victory. And no matter how ugly it was or whatever, they wound up doing that. I thought Dak was actually really good last night. But, man, every issue that we have talked about with the Dallas Cowboys was on full display last night. They cannot run the ball. They're limited in their options outside of CeeDee Lamb, who I thought looked pretty good last night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now you're I think you said yesterday, you know, if they're going to win games, it's going to be on the shoulder of, or on the arm, I guess, of Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, given what just happened to their defense, I mean, Micah and DeMarcus aren't going to be out for the year, but they're going to miss weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, you've got to find a way to grab a couple of wins with them out. And just try to kind of stay afloat. And now you're kind of, you went from a team who maybe you thought going into the year, I'm not talking about us or anybody else, I'm talking about them within that locker room, thought they were Super Bowl contenders. And now you've just got mountain upon mountain to climb while facing the realization, like, our offense has a lot of flaws in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know more than anything what turns those offensive flaws around. And that's where I worry, like, if you want to put it on the shoulder of Dak Prescott, you can. But if you have nothing back there to help him, and right now it appears that they don't, this Dallas Cowboy team is in a lot of trouble.
You talk about it all the time. I forgot who we were talking about. Was it the Cowboys or maybe it was the Raiders? And you're 100% correct. Like, you got to be able to run the ball. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to be balanced, you know. And they, through four games, they haven't shown to be able to do that consistently. And that's, to be honest with you, that's you kind of mentioned it. That's not good for Dak Prescott. Like, eventually, if you just have him back there by himself, essentially in the offense, you know, his numbers are going to go down, and he's still going to have like yards and passing yards stuff, but interceptions, because he feels he has to force things and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Playing catch up, you know, and all this other stuff. They've got to find a way. You would think, not trying to, you know, rag on these guys or whatever, but you got to think they should be able to go sign somebody in the running game. Matt Breida's out there.
Yeah.
Like, somebody that might be able to give him some type of juice in the running game. And
I don't know why Jerry is against signing players right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he seems to be against trying to improve. I don't know why he's against trying to improve this team right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe I can't imagine he's taking the view like, I know that this team isn't it. I have to get through this season. I can't imagine that's the view he's taking, but it just feels like they're sitting on their hands with a very obvious, massive flaw in their ability to produce points, in their ability to produce yards, in their ability to sustain drives. Like, there is a massive flaw on that offensive end, and that is well before we talk about what happened to their top two defenders last night.
Right.
So it's a long road ahead for the Dallas Cowboys for sure, but they did what they needed to do, and it's get a win. And I don't care, you know, Kyle thought that the 49ers needed to win big this weekend, and he's going to join us coming up here in a couple minutes. He thought that the 49ers needed to win big this weekend. He thought it would be a tough look if the Patriots had the ball at the end with a chance to win. And I understand that sentiment. Like, you don't feel great about it, but in the end, you just need a W.
Just need a W.
You just need something positive.
And you needed it bad, because They play the Giants again on November 28th. You want to know the games in between that? Between Please. Yesterday and the next Giants game?
Mm-hmm.
At Steelers, versus the Lions, at 49ers, at Falcons, versus the Eagles, versus the Texans, at the Commanders.
It's tough, man. That's tough, man.
If they can come out of that over 500.
I was gonna say 500, but sure.
I'll salute and be like, nah, these guys might be for real.
We're four and two. Yeah, okay.
2-2, and that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. They come out of that situation 6-4. I'll salute.
The football team or the Eagles, they have a chance to come out of this weekend as the clear top team in the NFC, in my opinion. Both of them have, you know, tough games ahead of them,
mm-hmm.
where I think there's a lot of prove-it games in the NFL this weekend that I'm excited to talk about. And the Eagles and the Washington Commanders are both a part of games like that.
Yep.
And the Cowboys just don't look like it. The Giants are not. The Giants are talking about improving week to week, which was just wild to hear last night.
They talking about this morning, they don't know if Daboll going to make it through the season.
I don't know. Y'all should lose your vote. That's all I'm saying. Mm. Y'all should lose your vote.
I will say this. This was the first time I really paid attention to him all year. One with the dyed beard.
Daboll did?
Yeah, that is. Oh, that's not natural.
I don't even think I noticed. I don't even think I paid attention to him.
He's out there looking like Ryan Day, and that is not natural.
Oh, Ryan Day is tough.
You ever notice how these coaches, and we get the players in there, me and Carl were talking about yesterday, they just switch something up with the beard or whatever once their seat is as hot as it gets. Like Ryan Day is all dark, whatever. Daniel Jones about to be out of the league as a starting quarterback. He got a beard in the offseason. Then we got Brian Daboll now.
Oh, man.
Maybe I'm not even let go.
Kyle said, too.
Well, no, you're not doing anything. You're not dying the beard or nothing.
Kyle said that ESPN did an article on Matt Eberflus's beard this offseason, how he's going to change it, like he's going to be ready to go now and all that. It's a real thing.
Oh, right, man. Yeah, Daboll might not make it.
Damn shame what happened to Brian Daboll. We'll come back. Domantas Sabonis set to join us at about 12:50 or so. Make sure you're locked in just to make it easy on you. Don't go anywhere. Kyle Madsen joins us next. We'll talk 49ers football with our 49ers insider from the Insiders here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Casino.
Domantas Sabonis set to join us around 12:50. Just got an update from the Kings, and I've been told they are on track.
There we go.
So Domas will join us coming up in about 30-ish minutes or so.
Also, a little side note. Check out never mind. Nah, I ain't going to say it. Because the Magical Radio, so I'll just leave it alone.
Kyle Madsen is here with us.
I just hey guys. About that. I said, I don't think it's actually up yet. So, yeah, just leave it alone.
It's a good tease.
I'll tell you Monday.
How Can't wait.
Steven says,
tune
great
in
radio,
Monday.
Casey. Great job, tune in pal. Monday. The great part is I have no clue what he's referring to, so
well,
I'm just going to. I don't.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Hey.
It's fine.
You know, I heard this thing about the Niner game. Nah, never mind. We'll talk about it.
Have you seen what you wanted to from Brock Purdy this year?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you were pretty tough on him.
Yeah, he's been good.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no complaints. I thought he was better than he was better against Minnesota than CJ Stroud was, which I think is encouraging. And with that specifically, because I thought week one he was good. Week two, I thought he struggled a little bit. Just with that scheme, it was really clear he was way more indecisive than usual. If Brock Purdy thinks a throw is there, he's gonna rip it, whether it's there or not. He's gonna let it go. He's gonna trust his eyes and his arm. The fact that he wasn't even doing that against Minnesota at times and looked like, oh, there's a receiver open. Nope, not gonna pull the trigger on that. Like that was a little worrisome. But that's something where okay, you play more games. Kenny brought this up last week. You start to see everything, all the different things the defense can is going to do to you over the years, and you start to, that's something you can adapt to. And he was outstanding against the Rams, I thought.
I made this argument yesterday about the Brandon Ayuk play at the end of the, or late in the Rams game, that he, you know, busted coverage, he's wide open, and Brock sees it late. Kyle broke down, you know, what was supposed to happen there, and he sees it. And I'm always of the belief, while I'm like, man, I'd love to have that player, whatever the case may be, I'm of the belief of, if you're not feeling it when you see it, it's okay to, you know, tuck it and go to the next option in that case, as opposed to, oh, I saw it, well, I better get it down there, and then you throw it into coverage, whatever the case may be. Sometimes, I guess, good quarterbacks do that, you know, see it late and aren't sure, but trust the receiver or something like that. But on that specific play, what would you kind of think about that?
I thought it was situational that he didn't throw it. I thought it was really important for them to keep the clock moving at that point and to not turn it over. And based on what Kyle Shanahan said, the safety was supposed to be in play, or the corner was supposed to basically go deep. He stayed low. That freed it up for Brandon Ayuk. And I think if that's the second quarter, I think Brock lets it rip. Because if then if there's a safety that he doesn't see or whatever, and they intercept it, it's an arm punt in the second quarter. But in that spot of the game, you cannot turn it over. You need the clock to keep running. And so I thought that's why he didn't ultimately pull the trigger on that.
Fair to say he had a split second to decide what to do right there, because he had one spot that he could hit him in stride, to where that safety you were talking about is, or I think it was a safety, isn't there to either disrupt the disrupt the entire play or whatever.
Yeah, it was, and you see him. He starts to, like, you see him step in, and it was like, there it is, and then he doesn't. And that's just, again,
is that
camp
too? Do you think that's not
maybe a little
being together?
Maybe a little, but that it was a so from what Kyle Shanahan explained, that was a broken play. That was Brandon Ayuk doing basically what they practice. If you recognize a blown coverage, go to the empty space. Do you remember? I know you do.
I probably don't. Just
okay.
Just keep it stacked.
there was a touchdown that George Kittle had in Brandon Ayuk's rookie year. I think it was against Tampa Bay, where it was supposed to be a touchdown to Ray McCloud.
Oh yeah.
And Brock throws it, and Ray McCloud is there, but then George Kittle is there too, just right in front of him, and it looked like they ran to the same spot. That was a broken coverage.
That was. I think that was the Commanders.
Washington, maybe. Yeah. So they get a broken coverage. Kittle runs to the empty space. That's what you're supposed to do. That's what Brandon Ayuk did. And so Purdy's expecting him to be in place X. Oh, nope, he's in place Y. So now he's got to decide, okay, do I throw this? Where's this? Like, that's a tough spot.
Sure.
And I think when you're calling a player, when you're going up to the line, you hear quarterbacks talk about this all the time, because FYI, I didn't play quarterback in the NFL.
No.
But you hear, no, I swear to God, I know, I'm sorry. Is this okay?
It's all right. You can keep going, I guess. Right.
Now, I hope Domas still comes
I thought
on
I heard,
50.
Well, I don't know.
You're like, wait, that is not former NFL quarterback, Colin? No, but you're thinking about all these different things, and one of the things you're thinking about is situationally. You know in that spot, A, we need points here. We cannot turn this ball over. And again, I think it's different in the second quarter. I think he goes, ah, all right, we're letting this rip.
It's so simplistic of me to think this way, but it's almost like if they, which I know they do know, like Brandon will, all the receivers will break off a route, and if they see a broken coverage or something like that. So if Brock goes back over to that side of the field and expects, let's just say for argument's sake, Ayuk to run a drag route, and he goes back over there and he sees him deep, my thought, and once again, way too simplistic, is even if I don't see the safety, I know he just broke off the route because he saw something. Let me just let it go. Like, wouldn't that be the thought a little bit?
And that's again, I'm going to say this for the 10th time. I really think in the second quarter, that's exactly what happens. But I think the situation won out there.
And so he
scrambles around instead. And it's not like he's scared to throw a deep ball. We know, in fact, he probably throws them to his detriment sometimes. So I didn't read into it that much.
I like the way he's played so far this year. I think he's done a good job. Still early, Still a lot of things that, you know, he's got to see. And, you know, he's had to overcome. This was his first time not playing with Christian McCaffrey?
This year, yeah.
Did he play last year without him?
Nope. Week one was his first start without Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, so this year, the start of this year, first time he, you know, didn't play with him. And Damian brought this up yesterday. It was another great point. But, you know, and you've said it before as well, the receiver aspect of Christian McCaffrey is something that even though Jordan Mason is running the ball at a very, very high level and showing that he's worthy, missing that aspect of Christian McCaffrey as a receiver is something that I think this offense is struggled with in the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly, though, like, the offense isn't a problem for me. I said this yesterday, and I don't know what you guys feel about this, but the Christian McCaffrey injury, from a football standpoint, obviously you want everybody to be healthy and have great lives, but from a football standpoint, the Christian McCaffrey injury is like down the list of things that are wrong with the 49ers right now. They'll be better once he's on the field. Don't, like, no question. You add the offensive player of the year to your offense is going to be better. But I don't – they gave up 27 points to that version of the Rams. They've not been able to get off the field on third down the last 3 weeks. They're like 30th in yards per play allowed. Their defense is a huge problem, and now they're missing Javon Hargrave, who is their best pass rusher against the Rams. They're missing him for the rest of the year. Like, that, this is a their ability to get stops, or their inability to get stops, is a way bigger problem to me than when is Christian McCaffrey coming back. Like, yeah, okay, their offense will be better, but if you can't get a stop, none of that's going to matter.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
What is the biggest flaw? Or that's a flaw wasn't the word you used. The biggest problem. What is the biggest problem for the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, now it's their defensive line. They can't rush the passer, which is a huge issue. I think it's exacerbated by the fact that Devondre Campbell in the second level is old and slow, and they've been so dominant the last few years for a couple of reasons. But one of the big ones was they were flying around in the second level. Those easy throws that Matthew Stafford was hitting for completions with Yak the other day were just not available when Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner are running around. But Devondre Campbell's just not it, man. Yeah. He's not. If he's your third linebacker, okay, fine. Yeah, if he has to come in and be a three-down player for a couple series, like, okay, you can survive it. But when he's an every-down player, I think you have a really huge issue, and I think that's something the 49ers are seeing right now, is it's just too easy to convert against them because I think they can attack Devondre Campbell in coverage. It's what Kyle Shanahan does. Kyle Shanahan's going to go, hey, who's your worst linebacker? All right, we're going to put that guy in a blender for four quarters. And I think that's a little bit what's happening to Campbell.
This probably sounds a little crazy. I'm just kind of throwing things out there to see how can they improve in that respect. But would it be crazy if on, you know, passing downs, or maybe even you're guessing a little bit and you might get caught with an audible or something like that, but just trying something, if they started to try Mustafa in that linebacker spot? And the only reason I say that is because, and he's a different body type, different type of guy, but Fred Warner was a safety in college.
Yeah.
And they saw something, and he was able to play linebacker. And I know Mustafa as a linebacker against the run is probably not what you want. But Campbell's real issue, it feels like, is in coverage.
Yeah, if you can, too slow.
And if you think you have the offense in a situation where they're in a pass formation and you can get him off the field, would it be crazy to have a guy like Mustafa out there?
First of all, fantastic point. Brought that up on Candlestick Chronicles a couple weeks ago. Couldn't agree more. Like, I absolutely think that's something that they need to look into, but they're already looking into D. Winters, second-year linebacker from TCU.
Okay.
John Lynch compared him to Dre Greenlaw when they drafted him. And it's like, hey, from the jump this offseason, when they brought in Devondre Campbell, it was like, okay, maybe he comes back to all-pro form next to Fred Warner. But if he doesn't, there's got to be competition. You're missing Dre Greenlaw. You have the Dre Greenlaw. Your GM compared this kid to Dre Greenlaw 2 years ago, or I guess last year. Put him in there and see what happens. And they started to against the Rams. He came in for like six plays and then got hurt on the fake punt. So he was limited yesterday. If he's healthy and playing, I wouldn't be shocked if he outplays Devondre Campbell in terms of total snaps.
So you feel like this is a personnel issue and not...
Yeah.
scheme issue or execution issue.
I think it's a
personnel problem.
I could turn into both. Mm. Like, the personnel is such that they can't run the defense the way they want to run it.
Mm-hmm. That's the same thing I think. Yeah. Like, you can't have the same scheme that maybe that you wanted to or you had in the past. And you're going to have to change the scheme up. The thing that I also think about is this isn't necessarily a staple of 49ers mm-hmm. football on the defense, but you're going to have to bring more blitzes. You're going to have to – who was it? Was it maybe Greg Roman? Don't do everything like him. But wasn't it a situation like where the Saints went under not Greg Roman.
Greg Williams.
But where second –
Don't do anything like that.
No, don't do anything like
that. That guy sucks.
But – I remember second and definitely third down, there's going to be about seven defenders on the line.
Facts.
And they're going to bring the heat. And their corners are going to cover as much as they can, but they're going to bring the heat. The Niners, aside from the one play by Charvarius Ward and him dealing with issues, seem to be able to cover in the secondary. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the answer. You got to bring a little more pressure and let those guys go out to cover and see if you can get pressure on that way.
So that's another reason I think the linebacker thing matters. Because right now, if they blitz Fred Warner, who's a very good pass rusher, it's easy completion to whoever's underneath because Devondre Campbell can't keep up with them. Or whoever it is can't keep up. Like, that's been a little bit of the problem. They blitz, they can't get home. They don't blitz, they can't get home. It's just it's a huge issue right now. So, yeah, it's akin to, like, the Niners want to be they want to get after the quarterback with their pass rush, make life easy on their secondary, and then force early throws or bad throws. Like, that's what Kyle Shanahan knows what wrecks his offense, and he's like, that's what I'm going to use to wreck other offenses. Mm-hmm. And if that's your entire – can you imagine if D'Lo and Casey guessed in 29 minutes – or no, 20 minutes, Domantas Sabonis said, hey, Mike – I had such a great time on D'Lo and Casey. I'm actually going to become a radio host. And that's just what he did.
He's welcome.
The Kings...
Got bad news about that paycheck, pal, but you're welcome.
The Kings aren't going to run a dribble handoff offense through whoever their new center is, right?
Alex Len, yeah.
Through Alex Len. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just not... They're not going to do that.
Right.
They're going to switch... That's kind of what this is. Is, hey, you don't have the personnel to go get the quarterback and affect the quarterback. So you have to do something different.
Do you think they knew that going in?
Like, no. I think they went in going, all right, Javon Hargrave bounced back here. Malik Collins is a good player, by the way. Mm-hmm. They traded the seventh round pick to the Texans for him. Okay, Malik Collins, really good player. You feel good about him. But they went and signed Leonard Floyd on purpose. They signed Yeter Gross-Matos on purpose. They have Nick Bosa. I think they went, hey, this is an improved defensive line. They're going to get after it. Leonard Floyd's been a no-show. Yeter Gross-Matos hurt week one, did nothing last week. They just don't have the dudes.
And Nick Bosa hadn't done enough.
He has not. That's the underlying thing here. Like I said, Fred Warner was bad last week, and it didn't get talked about because he's just so good so often, and they had so many other problems. Can I get Nick Bosa to take over a game? Just one.
T.J. Watt does it.
Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
There's games they where they're just like, you know what? I'm not getting blocked today. T.J. Watt, last year against the Niners. You think the Niners didn't devote resources to T.J. Watt? No, and he whooped Colton McKivitt's ass. Like, go do that one time. Have a three-sack game once.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. Like, I don't want this to come across like I think Nick Bosa is bad. He's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
They paid him to be a really good player. Defensive player of the year. But go be that defensive player of the year again. Yes. He needs to be unstoppable.
He's often referenced in conversation with great players, like the ones that you just mentioned, and he hasn't quite done that yet.
No, he's been okay. Like I said, it's not like a disappearing act, but I don't care that Nick Bosa...
But you can't be okay when your entire side of the ball is a little roughed
up. If Leonard Floyd is the one that's getting Matt Stafford off his spot and he's moving around, great. But I need Nick Bosa to be the one that's getting to the quarterback and putting the quarterback on the ground.
That's facts.
Surprised Debo was suited up at practice yesterday?
A little bit, for sure. Like a calf injury and you hear a couple of games, that to me is three or four games. Because that's a couple of weeks, and then we'll try it out.
He's only missed one game.
Yeah. Right? I'm not totally sure if this is one of those, and we're getting him back in practice today so he can get another one tomorrow and then ramp up for next week and he's a full go next week. Mm-hmm. Or if this is, he's got a shot. We'll make him limited, see how he responds. Okay, we'll give him Friday. My guess is he's questionable or doubtful. And then they check in with him Saturday.
Mm.
And if I'm not mistaken, Kyle, that's what they're doing with McCaffrey, no? Like, McCaffrey's not, maybe I misunderstood what Kyle Shanahan was saying. McCaffrey's not necessarily sitting down for four straight weeks. He's sitting for two, and then they're going to start kind of testing him a little bit, putting him out there on the practice field. Obviously, he's not playing in games, but he's getting back out there, and they're going to be a little more aggressive with the process.
So, I'm not.
Or did I misunderstand that?
I'm not totally. He can work out and stuff, but you can't return to practice until that fourth week.
I see.
You have to miss four games.
I see.
You have to be
after next week for him, right?
Yes. 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay.
So after week five, they can open his 3-week practice window. But I don't think they're going to do that.
Maybe he was going to do calf curls, and I just misunderstood what he was talking about.
But it's notable if he's out on like a side field getting work in. Like, that's definitely notable versus just like not being around the facility because he's in Munich or whatever.
Yeah, and I got
an Oktoberfest.
And also, did I misunderstand? Like, he already did the trip. Like,
that's what, again, this is where I don't.
I feel like he's back and the trip is over and he already did it.
Maybe. I initially thought
the tweet didn't go out when he was on a plane. Like, right. I got the impression he's back. But again, clearly I misinterpreted everything Kyle said yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't get a good feel for where McCaffrey is exactly. But we definitely don't know anything about where he's at. And if he's out getting work on a side field and that's going well, then great. Yeah, they can't open his practice window until after those 4 weeks. And at that point, I don't even know if they'll do it, because if you open the practice window and then they don't play, they're done for the year. So I'm guessing they'll wait as long as humanly possible to do that.
Wait, say that again?
If they open his practice window after 4 weeks,
uh-huh,
and they don't activate him within 21 days of opening the practice window, he's done for the year.
Got you.
So he can be off the IR at week five, but they don't have to start practicing him till, say, week eight, and then that's when the clock starts. Is that what that means?
No.
IR, so...
Well, he would still... So the way it works is you do nothing for 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So what do we say? 2, 3, 4, 5. So he's not allowed to practice until Wednesday of week six. They can say, we're opening his practice window. He's still on IR technically, but his practice window will be open. They then have 21 days from that start of week six, or whenever he returns to practice. They still have 21 days to activate him. And if they don't activate him in those 21 days, he's done.
Gotcha.
If they say, his practice window's open, he's not practicing, that's just wasting days.
So that's what I was trying to understand. So, like, say you don't start the practice window till going into week seven. Does the 21 day start when you?
Yeah, when you open the practice.
So he can be off that IR, and I cannot open the practice window for another 3 weeks.
No.
Okay.
He's gonna.
I'm trying to buy more days.
So he's on IR.
Yeah.
You open the practice window. He's still on IR. He's just eligible to practice.
This conversation is making me dizzy.
I'm sorry.
This feels like the Blair Witch Project of words.
Oh man, that's trying to help.
Once he's practicing, he'll be coming back. That's the moral of the story. Back to you, Damian. Back to you, Kenny.
Kittle look like he's good to go?
Maybe.
He certainly sounded like it.
Yeah, I don't. It's a hamstring.
That injury was
weird.
Also kind of an RKO out of nowhere. It was like he was fine, and then he wasn't.
Yeah, and then he was doubtful, and then they ruled him out. The fact that he was doubtful gave me the impression they went, it's not that bad, but it's early in the year. If he comes in Saturday and is feeling anything, we'll just rule him out. So I think the fact they didn't immediately rule him out last week gave me some optimism for this week.
Why is the Anaheim Ducks doctor talking about Christian McCaffrey?
Because he got asked. That's the thing.
Why did he get asked?
Because it, look, I totally get what Eric.
Hey, bro, you ever been to Germany? Yeah. Oh, let's talk.
No, but I saw Beer Fest one time.
So tell me about Christian's Achilles.
No, that's the really important aspect of this. Eric Branch did not ask about Christian McCaffrey's Achilles. He asked about these Achilles injuries in general.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he go to Germany? Like, what typically catalyzes that that trek.
Mm-hmm.
And what could he possibly be dealing with? What are all the... And so this doctor is just laying out, yeah, hey, he could be dealing with this. If it's this thing, he might be out this long. If it's this thing, then maybe it's a little longer. Mm. It's just, yeah, hey, if. Mm-hmm. And that's just, that's information.
Mm-hmm.
It's not information about Christian McCaffrey. The way they got that got run with, I'm not going to call them out because they're a rival blog to mine, but, and I like the people there, mm-hmm. but they ran with this headline, Christian McCaffrey gets bad news in return from Germany. Yeah. Like, man, what? No, you don't. Maybe.
Yeah.
But we don't know that.
Yeah.
Like,
we were tagged in that like 7 times last night.
Yeah. It did. But then you go read it and it's some doctor who has not seen Christian McCaffrey's Achilles. He has no idea. He's not, it just.
But I didn't because it wasn't Niners Wire. So I was like, I'm not reading that. Come on, man.
And see, and because Niners mm-hmm. Wire is responsible, we didn't aggregate it.
That's right.
So I get why you do that. It's the same reason we have Dr. Pandey on, right? To talk about. What? I don't like when you smirk at Jesse.
I was smiling at Kimberly. Wow. Oh, okay. Wow. Oof.
I just know you're talking English on this show.
Oh, no, I know.
Say that
no,
you
no,
misstep
no.
a little. No. And it's,
no.
Next thing I know, I'm getting double T's.
Yeah, man, he's just trying to say what's up to the
homie.
Because
I said he's never seen Christian at Kimberly's before.
Kimberly's like the only other human being in the office. She walked by. She smiled. I smiled back. It's all right.
Relax, you're working. Yeah, here. Relax. You're fine. You're fine.
But when we have Dr. Pandey on,
I blame Chris Verlod for all of this. By the way, for all of it.
Oh, facts. That's just true of anything that happens. Yeah,
that's a good point. That's
like,
a good
point. Ask Verlod's fault. Yeah. I'm putting that one.
Been doing that for years.
Did he say his name?
What are they gonna do?
Oh.
He's like the boss over there. Like, what are they going to do? Get mad at him? Like, Jesus Christ.
That plays.
He's got a picture of me in his office, for God's sakes. It's not the most flattering picture, as you might guess, but.
Can you imagine what would happen to this radio station if Jesse said, hey, I'm done?
Oh, God.
Well, okay, that's that.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know what the first thing.
Injuries.
You know what the first
crazy,
thing,
right?
Chris, you know what the first thing Chris said to Jesse was?
Oh, no.
Jesse's at the house. He's upset because he got to my party too early. Chris gets there right after.
Classic.
Him. Chris walks in and, I introduce him. And Chris looks right at me and goes, you didn't tell him? And that was it.
Shout out Chris too. That's the homie.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, definitely, definitely.
He took a Candlestick Chronicles to the Coliseum yesterday. That was dope. Sent me a fire picture.
The beer.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Not the show. He didn't just like say, hey, I got you guys tickets. That'd be great.
You guys get those beers every year. That's pretty dope.
Yeah. They just send us a case.
That's awesome.
And I'll probably get another case at our live show on October 12th, 8 p.m.
Hey.
Out in Santa Rosa.
Whoa. Is that the same spot?
Yeah, same spot.
Very nice.
You're welcome.
I haven't been
out.
Invited back. I haven't been invited back since my first appearance. I blame the Bay Area sports guy for that, by the way.
Same.
He basically went, you know, it's because Trey's black, right? Left and handed me the mic.
Hey, here is the exact, and he's like, because we were talking about Trey Lance and like this and that, and he's like, well, Trey Lance is getting evaluated the way he is because he's black. All right, bye guys.
That's not terribly far off what happened. And then there I am.
Hey.
It's like, I'll do it. I got you, Bay Area sports guy.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, and then guy in the front starts
and
popping
then it,
off.
And then it turned into a thing.
Yeah.
I had to break the news to the gentleman that Patrick Mahomes was black. He was floored to find out this piece of information.
Hey, you rocked that guy's reality to the core.
You should have seen. And then there was a certain point in the midst of the conversation where I realized I'm arguing with a drunk guy. What is happening? I'm arguing with a drunk guy.
You're arguing with a drunk guy whose opinions are bad when he's sober.
Right. Exactly. Either way, I haven't been invited back, so that's fine. Kyle Madsen of the Insiders. Check out NinersWire.com.
I don't get to hang out late this time.
Oh, you can hang out as long as you want. Oh, no, we're not going over. No,
Niners
no, no.
winning this weekend. They win it, baby. Yeah, 2-2 after this.
Demontis Sabonis of your Sacramento Kings scheduled to join us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to our people over at Sky River Casino. And shout out to our people over at the Sacramento Kings. Demontis Sabonis of your Sacramento Kings set to join us coming up here, as I've been told, in 5 to 7 minutes.
There we go.
Domas will be with us. Thanks to Kyle Mattson as well. Busy day. Jake Gaden's going to be with us. Eddie Gonzalez in the 2 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. And we've got game number one of the top 20 games of the Kings season. I understand. But it's tough after yesterday, dog.
Yeah, yesterday.
It's was tough after yesterday.
Yesterday was pretty
dog.
Good. I think this is a worthy number one, though.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. We'll talk about it. Go ahead.
For whatever reason, I feel like you weren't there that night. Were you there?
I didn't go. I did not go. I had to think about that for a second. I did not go to this particular. Well, I can't tell. We'll talk about it when we get there. But I definitely was not there.
Because I remember Kim and the tribal chief were there, and Stacy was there.
Oh, very good.
They were all there.
You were sitting down courtside with them?
No, I didn't sit with them.
Oh, you sat with someone else. No, it's good. You don't have to tell us. It's fine. It's all right.
I can't deny.
What are you talking about? You can't deny.
Well, the other time you guys just be jumping out the window. You'd be jumping out the window.
That's right.
You posted
it's us. Like, well, that, literally on your Instagram feed.
Yes, but nah, y'all was jumping out the window the other times. Every other time y'all be jumping out the window.
Okay.
Just trying to jump in the court like you, bro.
And thank you for not promoting that interview that no one on earth would be able to find.
We'll see. Because I saw the video. I was like, oh, maybe it's up on. But like, it's like, nah, it's probably not.
No, it's not. It's not. 4 years into this. And he still won't let me do my job. We didn't talk about, as we wait for Domantas Sabonis to join us, Zach Lowe was released yesterday.
I saw that, man. Speaking of jumping out the window, Zach Lowe's really good.
He's very good.
He is really good at what he does. I enjoy his podcast. I enjoy his articles, the thoroughness of it. He's really good at what he does. So that sucks to see him leaving ESPN like that. I'm sure he'll be somewhere really quick. But I did get a little frustrated with everybody that complained about ESPN and more Stephen A. Smith or whatever. I thought it was a little disrespectful to the people who are there doing NBA basketball. You know, I think Perk does a good job. I think Shanae does a good job. I think Windhorst does a good job. Like, there's still people there who do a good job, and people kind of crapped on it. Like, oh man, all they do is just put Stephen A. on there and make it a sideshow and all this other stuff. And I just thought that was a little unfair to some of the people who were still there. And Bomani Jones said it perfectly. You can give Zach his flowers without kind of showing yourself.
Speaking of giving someone their flowers, let's welcome in our all-pro. Oh, we knew the alcohol would be behind you. This is our type of setup. Domantas Sabonis. Actually, let's see what's back there. We know.
Let's see what.
That's a good look right there. We know you're a wine guy. What are some of your favorite spirits behind you?
Let's see what we got. I see the tequila. We got there's a bit of everything.
Yeah, that's a full. I see. I see that. No, that's black. That's black.
Oh yeah, my bad. No disrespect.
That's black label. That's black label. One of the most common questions when we told people Domas was going to join us is, what's your favorite type of wine? Like, what are your wine recommendations? You seem to be the wine guy around here.
I'm a big Pinot guy.
Okay.
Like Pinot, yeah. A lot of people, and it's funny because in Napa, it's all Cab. It's known for Cab country, but Pinot for me is better. It's more lighter. You can drink more. Have a good time. You know, Cab sometimes kind of like fill you up and put you to sleep.
When did you kind of get into that? Because I know a cousin of mine, he's a kind of a wine connoisseur, and I'm interested. But was it something that you just... After maybe some going to restaurants, you're like, hey, I want to know a little bit more about this.
I got into it like maybe my third year in Indy. And, you know, wine's been a thing in the NBA now for a long time. And it keeps – and we're kind of like – we're a brotherhood here, so everyone teaches everyone. J.J. Redick learned from T.J. McConnell learned from J.J. Redick. T.J. McConnell taught me, you know, and the list just goes down, you know. And you kind of – that's how you bond on the planes and restaurants on the road. And, you know, we all just talk and try and learn things.
Yeah, that's dope. You're one step away from being a Kardashian at this point. You've got your reality show debuting October 9th, starting 5. Obviously, the entire city was amped to find out that you were going to be a part of this. What was this experience like for you filming this series with, I mean, with the cast that you got?
It was crazy. You know, it was a really cool experience overall. I remember they reached out to me end of last summer if you wanted to do this. You know, obviously everyone who knows me, I'm more personal and private, but at the same time, you know, Netflix is a huge production. I saw all the other shows, from the tennis to the Formula One to the quarterbacks, receiver. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought straight away, like, no brainer. It's huge chance to put Sacramento on the map, mm-hmm. the Sacramento Kings, you know, everything we've done since I got here. And, you know, we don't get as many national TV games throughout the season, so no one knows what's going on, you know. Well, now the whole world's going to be able to watch, you know, and see what we're building here. So, you know, that was really cool for me, you know, to be able to do that.
So, Domas, it's really nice that you wanted to do it and you were eager to do it, but I'm a married man and I have a boss, right? And if the boss says it ain't happening, then it ain't happening. Did you have to convince your wife of, like, hey, it's a good opportunity, I think it'll be pretty cool?
Everyone who knows me, is my wife did the convincing with me. I'm the one who wants to stay in the shadow and just do my job. She's always pushing me, you know, to do new things, be better, strive for more, you know, so I wouldn't be here without her. And, you know, it's the best thing that we could have done.
You did mention being notoriously private. We actually joke. Do you hate this? Like, in this moment right now doing media, or, like, is this the most miserable part of your day, having to, like, do media?
It's not miserable, but I've been here for 2 hours now. I'm away from the kids and the wife, but, you know, it's fun. I like doing it at the end of the day.
We were, one of the things that we've been doing the last couple of weeks is going back over some of the what we have listed as the top games of this past season. And, you know, we get to number one today. So we've had the top 20 games, and it seems like every time we go through a game, we look at the box score and is Domantas Sabonis 27 points, 15 rebounds, 9 assists, maybe something like that. Like the season you had last year, I still think gets overlooked, and I'm interested to see the reality show to kind of see how you went through the season and the double-double streak and all this other stuff. Was it something that you were just kind of on cruise control last year and just going out and working, or, you know, do you feel like there was a little more emphasis on, you know, rebounding or scoring last year?
Not at all. I mean, people who know me, you know, I mean, I think I've played here long enough. You guys know that I'm going to come and give it my all every single game. Mm-hmm. So there definitely didn't need no extra motivation. And that's just me. You know, if anything, people are going to be like, I can't believe what he's doing on his off days with his kids before a game. You know, you really get to see the side of me off the court, where I'm a husband, father first, you know, and, you know, putting them, you know, they're the people that are most important to me. And yeah, you see stuff like, how each play, all of us actually throughout the show, what we sacrifice, how you have to make time for your kids, your wife, take care of your body, then go in if you want to get more shots and work on your game, you know, at the same time to perform. So I think that's really cool how you see how every single player prepares.
I don't, you mentioned your, you know, the wife and the kids and the part that they played in the starting five and you being a part of this. And I don't know this to be 100% factual. I believe your father is the biggest human being that's ever existed. did your mother and father, I know they were here last year, were they a part of this series as well?
Yes, my dad will definitely be in the show. You know, he's had interviews. They've got us on camera. And, yeah, I mean, you guys are going to see. You know, it's really cool. You really get to see all these clips of our Sabonis legacy. You know, when he played, I played. You know, so it's very cool.
I think it's really cool that you're part of this series, not just because we get to see the behind-the-scenes thing, but look at the group that he's with.
Yeah.
You know, we talking about LeBron, Tatum, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Edwards. I mean, and you are one of the top performers in the league, one of the stars in the league, and to be recognized and to be with those guys is great to see. Did you get a chance, you know, through the whole premiere and everything, to maybe talk to these guys a little bit more and have a little bit more interaction than you normally do during the season and maybe create a little bit of a friendship?
Yeah, you know, everyone was obviously super busy, but yeah, you know, that typical brotherhood friendship we have throughout the NBA. Obviously, we knew at the time during the season, but the games that are more featured throughout the show are the ones that we played against each other. Mm. So, you know, the LeBron games, the Jimmy Butler games, you know, all that. So, obviously, those we obviously knew at the time that we're both mic'd more cameras are on us, you know what I mean? So obviously there's more interactions there than there would usually be, because we obviously know we're all in this together.
Yeah. Domas, I think fashion is always a great window into someone's personality, and obviously you got Malik on your squad. We saw you at the premiere looking like $1 million. And then Anthony Edwards pulls up in like a sweatsuit on the walk-in, and it was like, is that probably the most indicative thing of Anthony Edwards' personality right there?
Having seen the first two episodes of the show, you know why he dressed up like that. I'm not going to give spoilers, but that's just all him, his personality. I mean, you get to know every single player behind the curtain more than you can even imagine. You know, everything we post on social media isn't what it is. This is, they're catching footage of you with your family, your wife, your kids, your best friends. You know, like, people have confidence with you. They can be making fun of you, picking you, and you got to take it, because it's just it's who you are with them in real life. So that raw footage is going to be something really exciting.
Did you ever get a point where you were kind of, all right, man, y'all been here for about 3 months, man, I'm about tired of y'all, man? Did you ever get tired of it, or was it pretty smooth sailing the whole time?
At the end of the day, it was pretty smooth sailing, because, you know, you'll see how people treat their off the court activities throughout the show. You know, I'm one of those guys who I found the balance of doing stuff, but also staying ready. So my off days are packed. I'm doing stuff with the kids, going out to do stuff, experience. I like to get away from basketball. So when I am on the court, I'm fresh. Yeah. So nothing really changed for me. I wasn't doing anything extra or nothing. That's just my life. Yeah. So like I said, some people might think like, well, I can't believe he's doing this before a game. Like, what's he doing with his kids or this, that, you know? But that's just how I do things. And yeah, I just had to figure for 6-7 people with cameras walking around always.
We appreciate you, Domas. We're excited for the premiere. We know you've had a long day. You mentioned it being away from the wife and kids. We'll ask you one question. You're going to be asked a whole lot about this come Monday. Tuesday, practice gets underway. You got a new teammate.
Yes, sir.
DeMar DeRozan, first, if you could talk to Vivek and tell him the Killer D's nickname probably isn't going to fly. Like, maybe we go back to the drawing board for the nickname. But we've got Domas. We got De'Aaron. And you got DeMar DeRozan, man. How exciting is it for you to get back on the court with that guy on Tuesday?
It's really exciting. You know, I mean, I worked out with DeMar in LA for a couple of weeks at USC, and you know, his IQ, you know, everyone knows what he can do on the court, but his off the court IQ, how he's willing to teach people, I learned so much off him just by asking and him just being willing to share. Mm-hmm. You know, and then on the court, like, you got Fox, you got him. Who are you going to put the best defender on? The other guy is free. Mm-hmm. You know, then at the same time, I'm getting more open looks. Keegan's getting more open looks. You know, everyone's benefiting from just being on the floor. But his veteran presence, you know, he's here for the right reasons. He wants to win, you know. Just getting everyone locked in for the whole season, I feel that's going to be our biggest thing.
We can't wait. We can't wait.
City loves you, dog.
And congratulations on this show, man. This is really cool, man. This is really dope, man. And we can't wait to watch it.
Domas, we appreciate you, man. We're looking forward to this season getting started and seeing a lot more of you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, brother. Best of luck. That's our man, Domantas Sabonis, right there. The starting five debuts on October 9th. That's tremendous. That is absolutely tremendous.